You're listening to Oystermouth Radio.
This is Oystermouth Radio, broadcasting online, on tablet, on smartphone and on TuneIn Radio. Welcome to another edition of the business programme. In today's programme, Jane Woodman is talking to Louise James of Craftsy. You may remember we did have a chat with Louise. It was last October. So I'm sure she's got plenty more to tell us about how things are going, and to do that she is, as I said, going to talk to Jane.
Thank you, Louise. It's a pleasure to interview today for Oystermouth Radio. You moved to Mumbles 9 years ago and you worked at Tidal Lagoon Power after you had your first child. You were made redundant from there in December 2017, and this was fortuitous because that then gave you the impetus to begin your own business. And your own business is Craftsy, where you can paint your own pottery.
That's right.
So tell me a bit more about Craftsy.
So the original plan behind Craftsy two Decembers ago now was that it would be a mobile paint your own pottery. I had quite a few discussions, late night discussions, looking at the merits of a mobile versus a studio, and there was no real proper location that I could find in Mumbles that fitted in with my life. So I decided to go mobile to start with, start small and then build up to something bigger. So that was the idea behind that. So the mobile side of the business was more about going to groups of people or people's homes to either provide them with a pottery party, so taking the items for them to paint themselves in a couple of hours, or going to baby groups or a cafe where there might be mothers and babies meeting for them to make baby print gifting, that kind of thing, which has been fantastic around Mother's and Father's Day and Christmas.
Yeah, that's lovely.
Yeah.
So where did this idea come from?
So the idea started when I first moved to Mumbles 9 years ago. I think I was looking for a gift or something like that and couldn't find a paint your own pottery studio here in Swansea. I asked my husband where the paint your own pottery shop was, and he said there isn't one, and I couldn't believe it because I come from Oxfordshire, where there is at least one in every other village. There was one in the town that I came from, so I was sort of quite bemused by it. And then every new year, as you think maybe you fancy a change, the discussion about the paint your own pottery business kept on coming up. Started off in a notebook. At least my notebook must be about 6 years old now. And I used to work on the marketing strategy sort of every sort of December the 29th, working out whether I could make something of it the following year. But obviously when Tidal Lagoon, when I left Tidal Lagoon, that was obviously the proper kick that I needed. The book came out and the strategy was then put into action.
So what was it about Tidal Lagoon and the redundancy situation that then moved you into a creative Craftsy situation?
So I've always been quite a creative person. I've always been one of those ones, people that can make something. If you need something, maybe find what it is that you want and then think, hold on a minute, that's just a couple of pieces of wood and a bit of fabric, I can make that. And I have sort of been quite a creative person in that respect, in terms of making and crafting things. So I didn't mind the idea of setting up the pottery business because I'm quite a creative person. And I'd say what I was doing at Tidal Lagoon Power was thinking on your feet and sort of resolving problems and trying to, I suppose it was sort of like market the idea behind the project. So those two things I thought were quite important for the business.
So would you say then that you were both intellectually creative and practically creative?
Yeah, definitely.
So that's a brilliant combination of skills.
Yeah, it is helpful.
And so if we think of World Economic Forum predictions for 2020... creativity is in the top three.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to ask me to make a prediction.
No, but creativity is it.
Yes.
Both from a standard business point of view and then clearly as part of what we would see as conventional creativity. So where do you think your creativity comes from? What has really nurtured that in your life? That you clearly understand that both intellectual and practical creativity.
I think it's because I've always had quite diverse job roles. So at Tidal Lagoon Power, what I really liked is that some days or some weeks you'd be sitting in the office and doing things at a desk. But then the following week or the next day, I could be out and about presenting in different locations around the region. Or I could be on it at the Gower show on a stall talking about the project, and things were quite different. Or I'd be in our lockup sorting all the equipment out, all our marketing equipment. So things were always quite diverse and varied. Nothing was quite the same, and problems would crop up. But I quite like the challenge of solving problems to a certain degree.
So in terms of then Crafty itself, where do you get the ideas from to move that forward?
I'd say I shouldn't really say it, but I do steal a lot of ideas. I suppose what I mean is I look at other people's ideas, yeah, and I might take bits of those and or decide that actually I can do things a bit differently and I think it might work better this way. Mm-hmm. So I do a lot of that. I follow a lot of other pottery studios, and that's always quite nice to see what other people are doing.
So I think that's a good point in terms of people who are considering setting up a business, is you don't have to reinvent the wheel, you can develop,
yeah,
what people are already doing,
yeah,
and maybe for that Pinterest is brilliant,
yeah.
And what else would you say allowed you to see creativity that then you could develop?
Instagram I really love as a social media platform, just because the pictures are fantastic and people do feel more inclined to take photographs of whatever they're doing. So that's been a real source of inspiration. I don't just follow Paint Your Own Pottery Studios here in the UK. I met a really funny couple from Denmark who run a Paint Your Own Pottery studio there. They ended up on the same pottery course as me here at a supplier's, and they just have a completely, not completely different, but just a slightly different approach to their studio, and it is, you can see a cultural difference between the UK and Denmark, and that's been really great to see, to see how it fits in there. And they have a lot more males going to their studios. I think the studios here in the UK are more sort of more definitely female heavy. Yes, not to say that males, yeah, don't turn up, but there was a stag party and I couldn't imagine a stag party coming to a Paint Your Own Pottery studio here in the UK.
So what were they making?
They all just did mugs and plates and practical items, yeah, but just seeing them all there, yeah, with their painted item outside the door, it was like,
oh,
quite, yeah, really different, positive, refreshing as,
yes,
well.
Yes, yeah. And so that's another kind of maybe piece of advice that we would give to other people, is that you could, or other business people, is that you could look internationally just to get,
absolutely,
ideas around cultural difference.
Yeah, and America's way more advanced in terms of pottery studios than us, and that's really great to see too, because often a lot of the really big studios there, they make their own bisque pottery. So they have, bisque pottery is pottery that's been fired, the clay that's been fired once, so it's able to hold its shape so that you can, it allows you to add the underglaze in a, I suppose, an easier way.
Yes.
You can add glaze to pottery to clay that hasn't been fired, but the firing process is very different.
Mm. So we, in summary then, we could say that don't be afraid to look at other people's ideas, look at other cultures.
No, I'd say definitely do that.
Distill that back then.
Yeah, take from that the bits that you engage with, take the bits that you know you can practically do, and then the other bits maybe research a bit more, work out if you can do them, and the rest, if you don't like, you don't have to do anything with it.
No, that's excellent. So what was involved in setting up Crafty? Tell me more about the actual process. You said you were mobile.
Yeah, so the approach that I took was that I am mobile, so how are people going to see what I do, and how can I make sure that I am able to relate to my audience and as big an audience as possible. So going online was a definite, but I felt from looking at websites of studios during my research New Year's days. Didn't really like a lot of their websites because they were just all a bit too cluttered, if that makes sense. So I wanted to make sure it was a nice, clean, sort of crisp website and sort of did what it said
and
on
how,
the tin.
How did you find a web designer?
I didn't find a web designer. I have done everything on the cheap, I'm afraid, and made my own website through a website provider package and set it up myself.
Had you ever done anything like that before?
A little bit, dabbled. But the web hoster that I chose, it was pretty straightforward. They're quite a big name, and for me it was all about seeing the product. So the most important thing for me was making sure that I had some really good clear, crisp photographs that showed the product. And I wouldn't say I'm 100% there yet, and because I've taken my own photographs too, because I've tried to keep the costs down any way possible. So yeah, I'm still working on that, but I'm trying my best to make sure that you can navigate around the website, find the prices. People want to know the prices, they want to know the details before they commit.
So if we look at how you've moved forward, I know you've got a studio now, but actually you were doing pop-ups as well, weren't you?
Yeah,
so around Christmas time particularly,
just before Christmas, I managed to have a 6-week pop-up at the Grey Dog Gallery on Duns Lane, which... which was really good. When I say really good, the first 2 weeks were quite lonely as people found out about me. It then started to sort of snowball. Word of mouth is definitely the most important way of marketing your business, I found. I have flyers, but people, once they have been in and done it for themselves, they're able to engage with people on a different level completely, which a flyer cannot hit.
So when you look back, what would you say were your biggest challenges?
My biggest challenge with the business is fitting it around life. So doing everything and fitting it in with my life, because leaving Tidal Lagoon Power, which was a full-time job, and the rest, because I would do evening presentations, which were always quite difficult to fit in when you've got children at home. So making doing everything in my business, because I'm a one-person business, which was a bit of a shock to the system after leaving a company. And I've only ever worked for large companies that have their own marketing team, have an IT team, have a HR team. I don't have a team anymore. It's me. So that was a challenge in itself. But that was a personal challenge too. And then fitting it around life. But it also gave me that opportunity to have work that fitted around life. So it was sort of, it had a pro and a con. The same thing had a pro and a con to it.
Yes, yeah. And do you think that's a female thing, that we feel we have to morph businesses around our lives?
Yeah, I think it is.
But it's perhaps almost a choice, isn't it, that we make?
Yeah, well, this is a different discussion.
Yeah, maybe we shouldn't go there.
Yeah, no, I think we do feel more obliged to make it work around family and are more prepared to sacrifice parts of our business for the children, maybe.
Yeah. So where does this passion come from? What has sustained you since the beginning?
I think it's the diversity of it, because in all my jobs, the diversity has been the big draw for me. So I think being able to go out and be mobile, and then being at home, and then sort of being at home for a bit, having a few people come to the house where it's been possible, I've quite liked that.
Mm-hmm. So that kind of drives you then to keep, and that customer, as you say, engaging?
Yeah, definitely.
Is that a positive, usually, experience?
It has been so far, touch wood.
Yeah, what else would you like to achieve for Craftsy?
Well, in the past 2 weeks, I've now moved into a premise and hope to have that open in time for the Easter weekend. So I'm a week away from that now. But ideally, Obviously carry on with the pottery, but as the name suggests, it's not just pottery, it's craft. So I'd like to take on more sort of crafting, so go beyond just painting pottery, maybe go into clay throwing at some point, much later down the line, because I'm not traditionally a qualified sort of clay worker, so I'd need to do some of my own courses for that, so that I understand what I'm doing. Clay is quite a
challenge.
Yeah, it's its own beast, and you've got to sort of try to understand how it works. So yeah, it's more complicated. It's
so
a complex thing to use.
Fire.
I have a 60-litre kiln that fires up to 1,000 degrees, and that's where I need to go to heat up the underglaze and the glaze that I put on the pottery.
And so is that going to be in the studio, or do you keep that at home?
That was moved to the studio on Monday. It's the same weight as me, so it was presented a challenge. But it went in fine, actually. So yeah, the planning and the strategy building worked at the beginning of the week.
So you think that's key as well, then, to plan, to have an idea of what's going to happen?
Yeah, I definitely think my business background has helped me get the business off the ground. It's helped me with working out a way to market my business, for sure.
And in terms of the studio, how does that fit with your brand? How have you linked the studio on-road image to your website? Is there a connection between those two things?
That is work in progress, but the plot that I have on Mumbles Road is completely glass fronted. It has quite large windows, which is lovely because the light is brilliant in there, which is great for crafting and painting. There's no real place to put a proper sort of a more traditional wooden sign like a lot of shop fronts have. So yes, I'm going slightly different, and I'm currently I've got quotes coming to me on having some kind of vinyl window display. So watch this space. I'm hoping it's going to be quite bright and vibrant and will hit you as you walk past. Just because I'm opposite the Crazy Gulf and the park, so I want people to see me when they're waiting for their children playing. They see what I'm up to in the shop, and they're more inclined to walk over.
So how did, because that is the perfect location,
I hope
it?
So.
How did this come about? How did you get that site?
So, sort of a friend of a friend. So, the copy shop used to be in the shop before, but they left in December to move up to bigger premises in Clansamlet. They told me about it, and so I went over and had a look and thought, I think I can make this work. So asked them to pass my details on to the landlord, but unfortunately I was even too late at the time before they even vacated. But things didn't quite work out, and so I was offered it 3 weeks ago.
Fantastic.
So had another look round.
So again, if we were thinking about maybe how other people might make this journey, this is quite an incremental journey, isn't it?
Yeah, it has been.
In terms of having an idea, then pop-ups, and then now a premises.
Yeah.
You haven't had to do the whole thing at once, and you've maybe given yourself time.
I wasn't able to start in a studio. It was something that I wanted to do, but because I didn't have a lot of money that stashed away, I wasn't able to start the studio straight away. Plus, I also didn't want to take the risk to take on quite a lot of overheads when I hadn't seen another business like that work in Mumbles and in Swansea. So I didn't want to take on an uncomfortable amount of risk, so therefore it made sense to start with low overheads and go mobile, but just understand that my marketing budget would be a lot bigger because I don't have one place where people can find me. I in effect have to go out and find them or leave them a trail where they can easily find me.
That's brilliant, and that's interesting in terms of risk as well.
Yeah.
So there has to be risk.
Yeah.
And you can choose.
You choose the level of risk.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there is risk now with a shop.
Mm.
So, but I feel that having had that 6-week pop-up, which felt like running a studio for 6 weeks, but without the commitment of a 12-month, three-year lease. Mm. It gave me a feel for it. Mm. Plus, Christmas was always going to be a gifting time, so I thought it would always be the best time of year to run something. That it was lowering the risk each time. So that's it's works out quite... You can sort of see the way I've worked my way.
Yes, excellent. Yeah.
To the studio.
Yeah. So what particular piece of advice might you give to people who are thinking of setting up a business?
Do it. Don't overthink it. Buy a notebook. Make a plan. all my top tips. And don't think that... well, I made a plan over probably six years, but it was all in a notebook, and it's ended up sort of being filed away sort of February, March time, and life just got busy and you had to sort of put your idea on the back burner because life was getting in the way. But I could keep coming back to it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about giving yourself enough time, I suppose, to plan. Don't feel like you have to rush things all the time.
The notebook idea, I think, is quite interesting. I've spoken to artists over the years and they keep notebooks.
Yeah.
But and never throw them away.
No, I don't think I would either.
And I thought that was quite interesting because in other areas of life, myself included, I would throw a notebook away when I used it all up. And now I wouldn't dream of doing that.
No, definitely
not.
Because
there are ideas there that I could return to. And I thought there's so much we could learn from artists, and that's a key one. And that you could go back 10, 20 years and look at ideas and notes.
I have all my notebooks from my time at Tidal Lagoon and my time in my previous environmental consultancy, because that's where all the real ideas were. And some of those were never taken forward. So there would be no record of those, no proper record of those, other than your workbook, which also has telephone numbers in and various bits and pieces. Mm. So all sort of the research elements.
And I think there's something as well in writing things down, so to have those physical notebooks, because maybe we keep things like that in notes on a phone and it almost trivialises them, whereas if you can commit them to paper, even if they're on the shelf, it's that physical presence.
Mm.
And there's a comfort, I think, as well in, well, I now feel that in going back and having a look through.
Yeah, I'm quite keen to always get something down on paper in case I forget it.
Yes.
But also it makes you think about it more thoroughly once writing down.
Definitely. And if you were going back to what you said at the beginning, that each year in the end of December, you would go back to this plan, then you're developing something, aren't you?
So I've got some serious marketing work in a notepad where I've looked at the births in Swansea to work out potentially how many customers I might have to do baby prints. I mean, I went to another level.
Brilliant.
Just because I had to be sure that this business wasn't a crazy business idea and that there was some real tangible evidence behind it being successful.
Super impressive.
Yeah, but as a good project manager, you always go back to all those previous ideas to work out whether the project should still be going ahead. Mm-hmm. So I'd say you'd have to revisit your notebook for all those original ideas.
Yeah.
And that idea might not have worked back then, but things have changed now, and maybe that's a good one now.
Yeah, that's very true. Whereas if you don't write that down, you don't have that record, it's probably lost to time. So although this is a programme about business, it's also about location.
Yes.
So focusing on Mumbles, which is clearly not where you're from.
No.
But still, what makes Mumbles a good place to have a business?
So Mumbles, so I'm not from Mumbles, but actually we used to come on holiday here as youngsters. So I knew quite a lot of Gower from our caravan holidays. So obviously Mumbles for me is a beautiful holiday destination. Ultimately, that's my memory of Mumbles. But in terms of business, Mumbles right now is in a transitional phase for me. It was definitely more of a bustling, busy village for me when I first moved here nearly a decade ago, but it's gone through a transitional phase and the footfall has died off slightly, and the centre of the busyness has migrated further down Newton Road. There's been a definite shift, but there's still developments going on at the moment which will come to fruition in the next sort of 12 to 18 months in both Mumbles and Swansea. So I think right now Mumbles is quite an exciting place to set up a business, but you've got to take that level of risk now that you can accept and ride through, because I think now is a good time with all the empty properties in Mumbles because the footfall has slightly waned, to get a good deal with those landlords, get yourself locked in at a comfortable level, and I think that the footfall will sort itself out with the developments that are happening within our city. So I think it could be an exciting place to start a business up, but you won't see the results until a few years down the line.
Oh, Louise, that's so interesting. Thank you very much
for talking to us today on Oystermouth Radio.
You've been listening to the business programme on Oystermouth Radio today with Louise James of Craftsy, who has been talking to our presenter, Jane Woodman. Until the next edition of the business programme, it's goodbye.